Oh, there we go. I think we all understand the difference between fun and good. Flash the four, Basinonians.
Where's Paul?
Hour number four of the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning on a Cowbell Friday. Hey, if you got a cowbell on you, go ahead and lift that thing, shake it if you don't mind, or just go ahead and hit that cowbell, bang that thing a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. We've been doing it for 14 years and 15 seasons. What do you say? You pull on the Jordache jeans, break out that neon comb, and brush back that Keith Partridge hair. Hey, it's Friday, ladies and gentlemen, and we all know the party is not going to be the same without you, ladies and gentlemen. That's the reason why you got them snug Jordache on. Boy, go on now. Get you something in the kitchen. And bang that cowbell while you're at it. Command and Control, how are you feeling? Are you feeling good? Are you flashing the four? Are you ready to broadcast right here? Yes, Minch is actually going to get a weekend. Doug Lace, are you captain of the quad squad, or is it Jonathan?
Jonathan is.
Jonathan is the captain of the quad squad. Flash the four.
I've never heard this story in my life, but today marks, or yesterday marked, the anniversary of 1779 when the British gave up Fort Sackville.
Fort Sackville.
That sounds like the worst name you could ever
Sackville
have for a fort.
Sacked.
They gave up Fort Sackville because an American commander, Clark, showed up with only 170 men, but he unfurled about 300 flags and made it seem like there were so many more men, the British surrendered the fort, and it was the last fort of British dominance in the western United States, which at that time was around Indiana, Illinois.
Wow, how about that right
That's
there?
Really
a little
good.
Bit of history, right, coming
fort
from Sackville.
Sackville. Yes. I'm kind of a big fan of that story. Chris Paul, after the game the other day, if you didn't hear it or see it, Devin Booker gets hit by Gordon Hayward right on the wrist, upper forearm. I guess just, technically I should say lower forearm. And where he gets hit, really, the ball is still just on the tips of his fingertips. Clearly a foul. So Suns down by 3/6 of a second left. Booker should have been at the free throw line. And I would have loved to have seen that pressure moment to see, are you making all three? Are we going to overtime? I think he would have. But he's missed a few free throws this year. You're like, hey, what's going on here? But the NBA admitted in their 2-minute report that the call was wrong. And Monty Williams was asked if he was fouled. He said, you know, I didn't really get a good look at it. Then when he was asked yesterday about it, he's like, hey, we got to move on.
The reality is they beat us. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, there were some breakdowns. We gave up a transition lob in the fourth quarter, you know, in the last part of the game, you know. And then the next play we miss, they come down and in transition and get a three after a swing drive, you know, that's them, you know, they played well. There wasn't the urgency that we needed in that moment, but I'm not totally on board with just saying it was us. You know, they got us, and it stings that we were up 17 in the second and weren't able to build on that and you know, have a good lead going into halftime, but they did what they had to do to win the game.
Boy, I love that right there from Monty Williams once again. You know what? He's not sitting there pointing to that saying, aha, see, that is what the 2-minute report, that is why we lost the game. I love the fact that he's being accountable and he's basically saying, listen, we lost that game in the second quarter, to paraphrase what he was saying. He was talking about the process of getting to that end game scenario. They lost the game well before that. That is just one of the best things you could possibly say in a situation like that. Hopefully every guy on the Phoenix Suns roster, every guy that is in that locker room understands and knows exactly what Monty is feeling and what he's saying. Hopefully every guy. Do you think CP3 feels the same way? You better believe it, right? Do you think Jay Crowder feels the way? Absolutely. Devin Booker. Yes, got to feel the same way. Now, granted, Yeah, you know what? If he would have been given those three free throws, maybe he ties the game up and we go into overtime and they win the game. I have no idea. But being accountable is about telling the truth the vast majority of the time. And I think Monty Williams just told the truth about that game.
Really interesting stretch of games here for the Suns. If you don't know, they play tonight, so they're going to be right here, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Bloomer will have the call with Timmy, and that's going to be in Chicago at 6 o'clock. But when you hear the games that they've got, it's an amazing mix of really good or some good games, good teams that you say, boy, this will help the standings a lot if you win, and below average and some horrible. So, okay, what are you going to do about it? So exactly as this team seems to get some nice leads against bad teams and blow them,
yeah.
If you win some of these tough games, are you going to be mentally tough enough to come right back against a weaker team? Between road trips, if I start tonight and I go to their next road trip, here's what they got. Bulls, Minnesota, Lakers on this road trip. So you've got below average, horrific, probably worst team in basketball. And oh, by the way, this worst team in basketball just lost their second best offensive weapon.
Okay.
Malik Beasley's out for 12 games. So then you've got the Lakers. Okay, that's real. Then you've got a home game against Golden State and you're at Portland. Two teams that are right on your heels for the playoff spot. After you get through that, you go Indiana, Memphis, Minnesota, Minnesota, Lakers at home.
Mm.
So Indiana, good. Memphis, okay, a little below average. And then back-to-back games against a horrible Minnesota team again with their second-best player suspended again. And then you're home against the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
A huge mix of not good, very good. Can you handle success?
It's a good point, Douglas, honestly. Can you handle success right now? I think Jay Crowder said it best, ladies and gentlemen. The fortune of the Phoenix Suns rests on the words of Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder actually was talking about the strategic key to the rest of the season. Now, he didn't say that. Those are my words. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, Basinonians, when you're winning, you have a tendency to try and take shortcuts, and you just can't do that. That, to me, ladies and gentlemen, that's called human nature right there, Ron Wolfley reporting. And it sounds like the Suns need to be reminded of that. I love the fact that he was talking about that right there. Listen, there's a simple fix here. It's called don't get complacent. That's the fix. And the Suns, that is going to be the key the rest of the way. When you look at the Suns and some of the games they've lost, Kellen Olson did an incredible piece on this on ArizonaSports.com. An incredible piece on this right here, where the Suns have gone 6-4 against the better competition in the NBA. 6-4 against really good teams. And then all of a sudden, they've actually lost five of their remaining seven losses, five of them to inferior teams, teams that are in the bottom third of the association.
I'm a little late, but I want you to hear this anyway. Jay Crowder was asked, what's the difference between teams that know how to play with leads and teams who haven't learned it yet?
Oh, the difference is just the maturity level. It sounds simple, but it's like, you know, if you're going to run, you try to run plays and you try to run sets and you try to take the shots that you know they're going to get you back in the game. And it takes a group. It takes five guys on the court working for that same goal. But if you have any slippage in that, or if you're trying to get stops and the team's scoring a lot, you're trying to get consecutive stops, it's going to take more than just one guy. So it's just a maturity level from that group. Whatever group's on the court, we've got to continue to try to do the right thing and play the right way. And I feel like at times we try to we're trying to do the right thing, but it's not what has gotten us to the lead and where we're at in the game, in a sense.
He said it sounds simple, but when you're winning and you're winning at a high level, sometimes it tends to be like you feel like you shortcut things, in a sense, and you just can't do that. You just got to continue to do the same thing each and every day. And whatever got you to playing well or whatever got you to getting that lead in that game, you got to find a way to continue to do the same thing and continue to grind it out. Not take shortcuts. That's what he's talking about. And I think that is so, and that is so applicable to what the Suns are faced with and what they're going to have to be faced with the rest of the way. I kept talking about good teams this entire week. Good teams, they challenge themselves because a lot of the time they know they should win the game when they go out and they play somebody else. The Phoenix Suns right now are what, the number four seed in the Western Conference? Still number four, Douglas. They know they're a good team. Ron Wolfley reporting. They know they're a good team. When they go out and take care of business, they win games. Because they know they're a good team right now, a lot of the time they're going to be taking the floor against teams that are going to be inferior, teams they know they should beat. And that means they're really playing themselves, the Phoenix Suns.
You know when I said we're late, but I wanted you to hear Jay Crowder. I wasn't really talking to the listener.
I just totally missed that.
I was talking to you. Coming up next, the one story you need to know. Drama in the NFC West. Oh, no. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The number one story of the day.
Well, say what you want. Say what you want the Seattle Seahawks to do.
If you don't want to be traded, why does a list exist?
This is one where you know that there's cracks in the foundation.
This is the Seattle version of The Last Dance.
Doug and Wolf's The One.
ESPN's Dan Orlovsky.
You can say you don't plan or want to be traded and then lay out four teams. That means you want to be traded.
Amen. Russell Wilson drama in the NFC West is by far the number one story. Earlier this week, John Lynch said in a podcast, I fully expect Jimmy G to be the guy. And yet nobody totally believes him as of right now.
That's because he followed it up by qualifying it with, I totally believe that.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
And then you've already got to change Jared Goff out of the division. What's crazy is the only sure thing that we know from last year to this year is that the Cardinals starting quarterback from last year is going to be the starting quarterback in 2021. That's the only thing versus the other three teams in the most competitive division. And yet we're talking about if San Francisco's healthy, the Cardinals are probably the fourth place team in the division last year.
Yeah, you know what? Get Russell Wilson out of the NFC West. Go ahead, Seattle. Trade Russell Wilson. Please get him out of the NFC West. I'd have absolutely no problem with that. I support Pete Carroll in any decision he makes that involves Russell Wilson getting out of the NFC West.
The great question with the Seahawks, and I'll ask it with the I'll even say it, legendary coach Marty Schottenheimer, God bless the family, is if you can't win the Super Bowl, what are you doing? I mean, Charger fans, feel free, like real San Diego Charger fans.
Yeah.
Kansas City Chiefs fans that might be listening. Marty Schottenheimer is a guaranteed 11 to 12 win coach every year. You're almost guaranteed you're going 11 and 5. And fair or not, you're not winning in the playoffs.
Mm.
I mean, it's too much written in stone. That's what always happened. And therefore, I look at Seattle and I say, okay, with Russell Wilson, it seems very personal. It seems like, you know what, at his age,
it's gotten personal.
It's if he's going to act like this, it's probably time to move on. Yet you've never experienced an 8-win season under Russell Wilson. You've never had a losing season. You've made the playoffs almost every year, and you have won a Super Bowl once. So do you think Carroll and Wilson and Snyder and that team will win another Super Bowl? I look at it and say, no, they won't. So do you change because of that, or do you say that's the dumbest thing in the world? Because you can't go to a Super Bowl if you don't make the playoffs. And having Russell Wilson means you probably make the playoffs.
Man, could I see Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, and John Schneider in a meeting room for 10 minutes? Could I just see that? Could I just watch it and listen to what is said in 10 minutes?
The one-way glass?
To be able to answer your question right there. Oh, how much, Basinonians, would you be willing to pay to sit there and watch a 10-minute conversation between John Schneider, Pete Carroll, and Russell Wilson? Oh, that would be good right there, man.
Because there's no longer a discussion if there's drama. It's there.
I'll
stress a story coming out of The Athletic yesterday that says, going to receive the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, he stayed at the Super Bowl, watched it with the commissioner, and was furious as he watched Tom Brady continue at his age to build his legacy. And he blames the system of the Seahawks for why his legacy isn't being added to in the postseason. And the next day called Pete Carroll and talked to Pete Carroll about the offensive line. In the article, it says Pete Carroll told him to be patient. Okay. Basically believe we're going to get this done. We're going to keep going in this direction. And whatever he heard, he didn't like, because he went public the next day. And when I say he went public twice. He was on with Dan Patrick in a national radio show and ripped the offensive line.
Unthinkable.
In his soft way,
yeah,
but
no,
still
I
did it.
Implied. Implication.
And then doubled down and did the almighty thing that you can't do in the NFL that your NFL team will hate forever. Had his own Zoom presser without approval from the Seahawks to double down on the things he said.
Yes.
And said, I'm frustrated by getting hit. So you just talked to the head coach, which is the news we didn't know, and then decided to tell us about it? That's personal.
Honestly,
that's drama.
It really is, and that's what you would have to do. Just sit there for 10 minutes, watch the conversation, and just see how quickly it de-escalates or escalates. Because that would be your answer right there, just based on how personal it does get in this conversation going forward. I don't know what's going on with Russell Wilson. As a matter of fact, we were talking to a dude named Farmer Rod, ladies and gentlemen, who actually was sitting here in the Ak-Chin Community Studios talking about the self-aware Russell Wilson. Maybe that's what it is that is really bothering me about Russ.
Anytime Do you remember, you start, though, when he said, don't say this on air?
No. Anytime okay. You start talking about legacy, it's almost like you're going third person. When you start talking about legacy, it's like you're going to go third person. Hey, Russell Wilson's going to do what Russell Wilson's going to do. When you start talking, what do you mean? It drives me crazy. It's one of my biggest pet peeves, and you know this, Douglas, after all these years of broadcasting right now, the whole legacy thing. We just forget about the legacy thing. We just focus on what you do and what you say in your life. How about that? Focus on the process of what you do and what you say in your life. Focus on that. Focus on that. Being the best you could possibly be, loving people, respecting people, treating them better than yourself, my young grunts. Focus on that, how you speak to people, what you do. Focus on that, the process. Forget about the legacy, because that is your legacy. Focus on you and being the best you could possibly be and treating others with love and respect. Speaking well of them, treating them well, and then let everyone else determine what your legacy is, not yourself. Speaking of self-aware, that's what self-aware people start talking about, their legacy. It's almost like going third person once again. Forget about your legacy. Just focus on being the best version of yourself, Basinonians, you can possibly be. I'm speaking to myself first and foremost on that. Focus on yourself, Ron, and the best you can possibly be. And then let your kids and your loved ones determine what your legacy is going to be. Focusing on your legacy, puppet master, that you're going to just orchestrate your legacy. What the... Focus on yourself, being the best version you can be, because other people are going to talk about who you are, what you said and what you did, and that's your legacy, whether you want to admit it or not. You know, sitting here talking, especially too, when you're talking about your legacy in the sports world. You know what I mean? It's my legacy. Oh, my goodness. Hopefully that does not define you, Russ. Hopefully it does not, what you did on the football field. Hopefully it does not define you. That was uncalled for, wasn't it?
Your legacy is the clock doesn't matter, and there will be a Friday rant post 9 o'clock.
And that's beautiful right there. It really is, because that's exactly what I'm talking about. Don't worry about that. Let other people say what Doug Lease just said because he's right.
So we'll worry about the clock.
I violated the clock. I should suffer for that. That's your legacy. There goes my face.
Coming up next, speaking of drama and legacy, what's the O-line of the Cardinals' legacy? It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. No matter how you feel about Bon Jovi, and by the way, I think this is just John, right? I don't think this is Bon Jovi.
This is it? Bon John.
I think it's all of them.
Is it? Okay, I can't remember if this was solo or if this is the group. I love the Young Guns movies. I'm not a big cowboy western guy, but the two Young Guns movies, I love them. I love those two movies. And so whenever I hear this, I automatically think of that. First one over the second, of course. You want to sing.
Yeah.
What are you laughing
All
at?
I can see are the boots of John Barnes.
My mom went to a concert of his once. Said he's a terrible dancer.
He is a terrible dancer, though. Kind of like Stevie Nicks. Stevie Nicks is a horrible dancer as well, basically. And it's one of the reasons why she uses all the shawls that she does.
Remember the 2 weeks of fame with the cranberry juice and Fleetwood Mac? And Mick actually gets on the skateboard. So then to add to it on Instagram, Stevie Nicks just kind of laces up roller skates and doesn't actually do anything. Hey. Like, okay, I want to throw my name in this, but I'm not going to let you see me roller skate.
Google it, my young crunks.
Those are
Stevie
also the
Nicks.
Those are the perfect shoes to be moving around those shawls in.
Shaws.
That's right, Bill Belichick.
Are the Seattle Seahawks going down in a blaze of glory?
Okay, are they? That is the question.
We already talked about
it.
I just thought that was funny.
Let's hope that the Seattle Seahawks eject on Russell Wilson. Eject button, Russ.
We're all worried about what's coming up next. You're 10 minutes away from unfinished business, and especially on a Friday. Because Wolf's already got his 9 o'clock rant out of the way, which means he'll be even nuttier in the unfinished business.
Yeah, I see. Unfinished business. I've got to find some stories right now, ladies and gentlemen.
You're okay. Do you want me to do the show?
Yeah, you know what?
Like, knowing you?
You got something right there? I mean, hopefully.
Corey Linsley, center, 29 years old.
I got that. How's that?
Clubbing with Doug and Wolf. When is that going to happen? When are we going to do the clubbing thing with Doug and Wolf? Okay, I digress.
It comes to centers scheduled to hit free agency. There's Corey Linsley, and then there's everyone else. Linsley is one of the most consistent centers in the NFL, as he allowed just one sack and 7 total pressures without committing a single penalty.
Let's stop right there. I don't even need to hear anything else, Sarah. What did she just say?
Without a single penalty.
Without a single penalty. Does anybody find that very, very interesting?
We got to be more consistent in the penalty phase.
This is the moment we've been waiting for.
Clubbing with the Doug and Wolf Show.
Share my music.
Yeah, I kind of like this right here. This is good. Yeah. We're going to go clubbing with Doug and Wolf right now. The Arizona Cardinals have got to stop with the penalties. I think we all understand that. They have got to stop with it. As a matter of fact, I would disagree with Cougs on one thing. They were very consistent with the penalties. Very consistent, unfortunately. Consistently bad in regard to the penalties. That has got to be cleaned up. That's something that it's got to start from the very top. Steve Keim, from meeting number one, has got to talk about the penalties and cleaning it up. And then all of a sudden, Cliff Kingsbury, when he comes in, meeting number one in front of his team, he's got to talk about, we're not going to abide these penalties any longer. It's not going to happen. And then you divide into offense and defense, Basinonians, and then you have an offensive meeting and a defensive meeting. And then the offensive coordinator gets up and says what he will say. Maybe it's going to be Sean Kugler who gets up and says, we are not going to deal with these penalties anymore. And then the defensive coordinator, Vance Joseph, gets up in front of the defense and says, this is not going to happen. And then you know what happens from that point? Offensively, they split into their rooms. Offensive line room, running back room, tight end room, wide receiver room, quarterback room. And the coaches say the exact same thing all over again. We're not going to handle these penalties. If you're going to commit penalties, you're not going to play. And you have to mean it. And then the defense does the exact same thing. And then when you walk out of those meetings and you're done at the end of the day and you go into the training room, that's exactly what the trainers are talking about. Okay, I made that part up. But you get my point. You have to constantly be talking about it. And when you get the opportunity to make an example out of somebody, you do it. You want to truly send a message. We're not going to tolerate these penalties around here any longer because we can't win games. If, in fact, the Arizona Cardinals were in the top third of the league in being a team that was least penalized, if they were one of the better teams when it came to that, they'd have been in the playoffs last year.
It's interesting you said, you know, out of 2018, can we just get the defense to be average? You got your wish but didn't go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now it's this, and I think you're right, but I just juxtaposing those two things right there in everything that Sarah said.
As he allowed just one sack and seven total pressures without committing a single penalty this season.
With,
do you know how hard that is? As a center?
With Sean Kugler.
We got to be more consistent in the penalty phase.
There's Corey Linsley, center out of the Packers. Never a penalty. Never an illegal snap. Never anything. By the way, one of my favorite plays in football is when the center does forget the snap count.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you have 10 guys with a false start, because the center can't really false start,
right.
And he's sitting there, he didn't snap it, and everybody moves.
Right, exactly.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
but having said that,
is awful,
Corey Linsley, zero pressure, or zero penalties, zero holds that he actually got called on him. Zero times his feet got out of position.
You know what's amazing about that, Douglas, too? The officials, do you think they watch tape?
Yeah.
Oh, you better believe they're watching tape. They watch tape.
We talk about it in the NBA all the time, reputation, but it's the same in the NFL. Are you going to be the first ref that throws a flag on Corey Linsley?
Yes, no, it's just a situation where you're looking and go, man, this guy rarely ever holds. You're watching tape. You can actually see it back and forth, back and forth. Look at this guy. This guy, he's not holding. That's not holding right there. And all of a sudden, you're over here at the right tackle. Oh, my goodness. Look at this guy holds on every play. You don't think you go into a game like that where you're thinking, oh, there, yeah, there it is. I saw that.
And what that does, truthfully, if you don't see him holding a lot in film, and yes, they do watch film, you go into a game and subconsciously, this is an opinionated statement, but subconsciously, you raise the standard, you raise the bar of what constitutes holding for that guy. Since he never does it, then, well, I need it to be at this level for me to flag you for it. And sometimes you get away with a little more than you would have.
Will we try to add to that room or will we try to improve the competition? We'll always do that. We'll always try to look to make sure that we've got the best five out there and the next best five ready to go. And if that means bringing somebody in, that's not out of the possibility. So the center position overall, I think, needs to take a next step to get better. And to get better to help our offense. And that starts with myself evaluating how I'm coaching those guys. It starts with those guys individually. And if we add somebody, they're going to be right in the mix. So it's going to be open competition. And the best guy is going to win that job, and that'll play out.
Boy, that is a huge statement right there by Sean Cooper.
We need that position to take the next
step. The other thing he was talking about was Josh Jones and the fact that Josh Jones could be a guard. You might line him up at guard. I've got wherever you can put Josh Jones, I got no problem with that. I don't care if you drafted him as a tackle. Wherever he can actually go out and get playing time, I'd like to actually see him play guard. Get a little aid, comfort, and shelter playing the guard position. and then maybe move him out onto the edge.
I think it's a major miss if you draft a tackle in the top 15 picks and then move him to guard. I think you wasted a spot.
No,
you drafted him in the third round?
Yes.
Why not?
Yes.
Absolutely. Give it a shot.
Yeah, he's doing a nice job. And, you know, he got his feet wet last year, but he didn't have to be pushed into a starting role. I thought that was good. You know, I think rookies lately, they've been pushed into starting roles before they're ready. You know, back years ago, you weren't ready until your third or fourth year. And that still holds true. But now guys are out there and playing as rookies and second-year players. So I thought he handled his rookie year extremely well, not only on the field but in the room. I saw a lot of growth. He's a very talented young man who likes football. We're very excited about him. He offers position flexibility. He could play tackle. He could play guard. We'll see where that goes as we get into the offseason. But he's a very good pick for us, and he's going to be an outstanding lineman for the future of the Cardinals.
One of the things I love about Cougs is he's uniquely qualified for today's NFL to be an offensive line coach slash run game coordinator. And the reason being, of course, is because he understands the NFL game and the dynamics of the NFL game, even the history of the NFL game, where offensive linemen were given 3 years to develop. He understands that, yet at the same time, the college game is right on his hand, right in his hand and on his hand. He knows the college game as well because of his time as head coach for New Mexico State. It's unbelievable, but this guy is an asset, and I can't wait to see what happens this year with his promotion.
Something just happened recently in the Washington Supreme Court that you have to hear what you're now allowed to do in Seattle right now, but you better hurry because you won't be able to do it for very long. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
I think we ain't done yet.
I do have one last thing that I want to talk about.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Unfinished business on the Doug and Wolf Show.
Unfinished business is all the stories that just in case Wolf actually shuts things down and starts listening, we've got stories. That didn't happen for 3 hours and 45 minutes, so now we bring them to you right now in unfinished business.
Okay.
All the stories that we never got to. Did you know in Washington, RCW 69.50.4013 Section 1 has been struck down?
No, I did not know that, Douglas.
Here's why this is vitally important right now in the state of Washington. I'm not trying to tell you how you should feel about it, but in 2016, a woman gets arrested with meth in her pocket. She claims her friend bought the jeans at a secondhand store and she borrowed them. It's not her meth. And her boyfriend testified she's never used drugs, and she used a bunch of negative tests from work to prove I've never tested positive for drugs in my life. This is not mine.
Wow.
Of course, the cops were like, whatever. Come on. This isn't real. It's yours. They arrested her, and then she appealed all the way to the Washington Supreme Court, who has ruled that you can't get charged a felony when it's not proven. So they struck down this portion of the law as unconstitutional. Man. There's just one problem. That whole phrase in the law is what criminalizes all drugs in Washington. So right now, drugs of any kind are 100% legal in Washington until the legislature overrules and creates a law
that's
constitutional.
Okay, Basinonians, how about this right here? I vaccinated Santa Claus, said Dr. Fauci.
What?
Dr. Fauci said he vaccinated Santa Claus, as a matter of fact. He was in front of a town hall with a bunch of kids, and he actually told them Santa was good to go back in December, that he was the guy who vaccinated Santa. I mean,
oh no,
Dr. Fauci, really?
Oh no, not good. I think you're going to like Grandma here. I think you're going to like Grandma. You won't be able to see it, but you don't need to.
A grandmother in Australia gave a thief a lesson he will not soon forget. Check out this security video. The suspect seen running away with the woman's handbag. She catches up to him, tackles him to the ground. The two wrestle in the parking lot before the woman gets hold of her bag and the man's shirt. She rips it off as she's being dragged, but the grandma somehow holds on to her bag.
Now, the key here is Grandma caught him. There's a horrible joke from Tommy Lasorda that says one of his players was so slow that he finished in third place in a race with a pregnant woman. And I thought of Tommy Lasorda when I heard you stole a purse from a woman that's a grandmother that you can't outrun.
As for the thief, he takes off in his truck but is later arrested. The woman suffered cracked ribs as well as cuts and bruises. Not all the best way to end a birthday party at a local tavern.
Holy cow.
Oh, man. Bella, grandma's tough.
I know. Gave her cracked ribs.
You got to love that. What else do you have?
Got the purse back. All right. The next one is, how many of you that are probably, and if you're a teenager, you're probably in school, but any of you that's about age, I'll go 6 all the way to 30, maybe 50 now. You've mastered Zoom. You didn't know about it. Think about it. It's February 2020. You probably have no idea what Zoom is.
Yeah.
It's February 2021. You probably use it at least once a week. Our household, the major meltdown was over Christmas, where Nana was told we're going to open our presents on Zoom, and we didn't know that Nana didn't even have Zoom yet on her computer, and then argued the whole time about what she's supposed to do to get Zoom.
That would be problematic.
Now, is it funny if the guy that's going to help determine whether you're innocent or guilty of a crime doesn't understand Zoom?
How does that happen in today?
Mr. Ponton, I believe you have a filter turned on in the video settings. You might want to
can you hear me, Judge?
I can hear you. I think it's a filter.
It is, and I don't know how to remove it. I've got my assistant here. She's trying to, but I'm prepared to go forward with it. I'm here live. I'm not a cat.
That's so good.
I can see that.
Oh, my goodness. It is so weird. A couple of things on this base earnings. Number one, here's a headline I'm looking at. Los Angeles man reunites with cat who vanished 15 years ago. 15 years ago. Can you imagine that? How weird that would be right there? And not only that, too, the warrior queen, the beautiful Miss Stephanie, yesterday won a variance for something we need to do at the compound. Have you ever tried to do this?
Now what?
Go to City Hall, basically, via Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead and state your case as to why you want to build something on your lot, whatever it might be, right? Some type of variance that you've got to get. You've got to get clearance from the city, whatever it
you
is.
You said she won?
It's stuff way over my head. I have no idea how she did it. But the warrior queen actually did get a variance.
So are you going to build another guest house?
As a matter of fact, I'm not going to do that, Douglas, whatsoever. We just needed to be able to make something 8 feet to 12 feet.
That's it?
You have to go ask the city to do that. Interesting. More on this as the week unfolds.
We're out of week.
The week is done. I mean, well,
next week,
we're
I
good.
Guess,
oh,
unfolds.
Okay.
Do you guys have anything else?
No, what do you?
I have one from like a month ago.
Even if we
or so.
Do, Mitch, always.
I love this, man.
Okay. Unfinished business is whatever you got.
Again, this is from a month ago. Headline: a pigeon survived an 8,000-mile journey from Oregon to Australia. Authorities plan to kill it.
What?
No way.
No, you're gonna let it.
Here's the opening paragraph: a racing pigeon has survived an extraordinary 8,000-mile Pacific Ocean crossing from the U.S. to find a new home in Australia. Now, authorities consider the bird a quarantine risk and plan to kill it.
Oh, of course. Of course. We should have seen that coming a mile away.
Or
the bird
8,000 miles away.
No, just the fact that they were going to kill it.
Oh, I see.
How did the show
Don't
make
pull
you
that
feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's.
It's all about the you. It's all about the you.
Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to carolhasthebuyers.com. That's carolhasthebuyers.com.
I got two. One is, of course, yeah. My second takeaway is at JeanLily14 with the tweet, love unfinished business. Where's Paul?
Where is Paul? Okay, Basin Orleans, as a matter of fact, I'm done. totally done, booked, peace, and strength.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks!